Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. This is Betty Purr interviewing Margie Weiner. The date is August 1st. Margie, would you mind giving me your address?
My address is 145 Crescent Drive. Thank you.
Margie, will you tell me about your mother, dad, so forth, your history? Were you born here in Pittsburgh?
Be very glad to. I was born here in Pittsburgh, but at the time my parents were living in Charleston, West Virginia. They are an old Pittsburgh family, having my mother was born in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and came here to Pittsburgh with her father and mother. And like everybody else, she lived on Dinwiddie Street. I think that everybody lived on Dinwiddie Street at one time or another. And I remember when we went back there to see Dinwiddie Street, it runs from Fifth Avenue up to Center. And I could not believe that all these people lived on that one street because everybody lived there at one time or another. But my father's family was from what was called Allegheny. Old Allegheny. It's now called the North Side. And he and his brother and five sisters lived on North Avenue. West North Avenue. The house is still standing. And it is a constant joy to me to drive my children and grandchildren over there. Of course, the area has completely changed sociologically. And my grandfather was in what they called the tin business. They manufactured lunch pails, buckets. And my father and my uncle all were in the business. And then it gradually evolved into garbage cans and larger metalware, and that later evolved into kitchen cabinets, metal cabinets, and it was the Pally Manufacturing Company. I neglected to say that my maiden name was Pally. P-A-L-L-E-Y. My father's name was Jacob, J-A-C-O-B. Nevin
Angel
is his middle name. That was his mother's maiden name, Nevin. And the Nevin family name has been passed on to his children and through the family.
Could you give me your mother's name?
My mother's name was Emily Livingston, L-I-V-I-N-G-S-T-O-N. And her parents' names were Anna, A-N-N-A, and Thomas Livingston. In fact, there's a picture of my grandmother in the living room that I highly treasure. My father's parents' names, his mother's name was Masha, M-A-S-H-A, and my grandfather's name was Harry, H-A-R-R-Y, Pally. Now, my grandfather's first wife, my father's mother, died, and my grandfather remarried a woman by the name of Rose. I never knew my paternal grandmother, nor my maternal grandmother, but I knew both of my grandparents, my grandfathers. And then my father's stepmother we called Grandma Rose. And they lived on that house in West North Avenue until they both died. My grandfather, Harry Pally, died in 1936, I believe, or 34, something in the early 30s. And there is still, he has a foundation with the United Jewish Federation still in his name, the Harry Pally Foundation. My father was quite a man. He was a gentleman and a gentle man. He was one of the five original young men that started the Young Men's Hebrew Association in Pittsburgh, the Y. The YM, and it was the YMHA then. And he was the second president of the YMHA. They were married in 1910, my mother and father, and lived on Perrysville Avenue in the north side. That house, too, is still living. And when we go to Westview Cemetery, where we have our plot, I always show the children the house their grandmother and grandfather lived in. At that time, my mother would tell me the Jewish Home for Babies was across the street on Perrysville Avenue. And there was Judge Josiah Cohen, who was one of the lights of the early Jewish community. And Mrs. Cohen would get off the trolley from town where she lived closer in town and stop at my mother's house for a cup of tea before she would go across the street to do her volunteer work at the Jewish Home for Babies. My parents were very early members of the Tree of Life when it was on the north side. Then they later became very early members of Road of Sholem, which they belonged to all their lives. We were raised in the Reform congregation at Road of Sholem. All of us were confirmed there. And Rabbi Friedhoff married me. J. Leonard Levy, I remember Rabbi Glazer long before Friedhoff came here. But we've been associated with the Road of Sholem congregation all my young life. I have there are four siblings, three sisters and one brother, and myself. Now, to get back to the beginning, my father had left Pittsburgh in the early 20s to go to Charleston, West Virginia, and start businesses there. But I was born here in West Penn Hospital in 1923 because my mother would not have me born in some place like Charleston, West Virginia. And then, of course, took me back as an infant. We moved back to Pittsburgh, the whole family, in 1928 and lived in the East End area, Stanton Avenue, the second house from the Highland Park entrance, which has since been further developed. But that house, too, is still standing. And then we moved to Squirrel Hill. I went to kindergarten at Dilworth Elementary School, and then we moved to Hobart Street. And that's where my young years were spent. Went to Colfax, went to Alderdice. We moved to Woodmont Street, I would say about the middle 30s. My one brother and sister were in the first graduating class at Taylor Alderdice. My two older siblings graduated from Shenley and Peabody because Taylor Alderdice had not been built yet. The Pally name, I think, was pretty well known throughout the community. My mother was also very active. She was one of the organizers of the when the women came into the YMHA. And she also was very active there. So I guess a lot of my community involvement came from her experiences. When we were in Charleston, she too was very active in the Reform congregation there. But when we came back here, it was at the height of the Depression, and she didn't have time for volunteer work. She was busy raising 5 children and trying to supplement the family income that everyone had to do at that time. But I had a good childhood, and when you're in a large family, you have a lot of memories.
Were you, they didn't have bat mitzvahs then, did they?
No. But Rhoda Scholem didn't even have bar mitzvahs.
That's right.
Any of the boys who went to Rhoda Scholem who wanted to be bar mitzvah went to Beth Scholem Tree of Life hadn't come out here then. Tree of Life had moved into what is now the Pittsburgh Playhouse.
Mm-hmm.
You knew that was the synagogue.
Yeah.
Or they went to B'nai Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was confirmed, we were all confirmed. There was no Hebrew even taught at Rhoda Scholem.
It has come a long way, hasn't
it? Oh, yes. They had no Friday night services.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather, Thomas Livingston, lived with us. So we had, at one time, 3 generations in one house.
Hmm.
4 generations, excuse me, because my married sister came home with her baby, so there were 4 generations in one house on Hobart Street.
Hmm.
But he became ill, and after a number of years, he ended up in the Jewish Home for the Aged. My paternal grandfather died in his own home. My maternal grandmother, as I said, was dead before I knew her, although they tell me that she was in Charleston for a while, but I don't remember her. The lovely woman, the picture is lovely. And then we just gradually grew up, as we all do.
Well, when did you move to South Hills?
I moved to South Hills. I was married in 1943, and this is my first husband, who was Ellis Tumpson, T-U-M-P-S-O-N, and he was a lieutenant in the United States Navy stationed in Washington, so we lived there for the first couple of years of our marriage, and then when the war was over in 1946, we moved to Mount Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 42 years ago, my word.
That's a long time.
Right.
All right, then when you moved to Mount Lebanon, you joined Temple Emmanuel.
No, we formed Temple Emmanuel.
Pardon.
All right. There was a small Jewish community in the South Hills. Mm-hmm. When we moved here, I was not too aware of them because most of our friends were Christian. And I knew of a few names, but really was not socially involved with the Jewish families here. There was Bethel Synagogue in Beachview on Broadway Avenue that had a viable congregation, and my first child was born in Washington, D.C., and then the other 4 were born here in Mount Lebanon in Pittsburgh. But by the time they were getting around to 5 years, the oldest was 5, we started to think about religious school and affiliation. I'd always gone back to Rhoda Scholem for high holiday services because my parents were still members and always had tickets for it. And then gradually in those 5 years or so, we became acquainted with some of the Jewish families here. And we got a call one night that this gentleman wanted to have a meeting. There would be five couples because they were seriously discussing the feasibility of starting a Jewish congregation here in Mount Lebanon. And I'm very proud to say that we were one of the five original couples that literally formed Temple Emmanuel of South Hills.
Interesting.
We chose the name, we made decisions as to Friday night services, vis-a-vis Saturday morning services, vis-a-vis Sunday services, which is where Rhoda Sholem always had been. And at that time, there were a few of our friends who were still affiliated with Rhoda Sholem's junior congregation, because at that time we were juniors in age. So we had our first meeting and had 50 families that we contacted. Mm-hmm. And from those 50 families, we developed a charter, and we called them all charter members. And Temple Emmanuel was formed and born.
Were they in a church when they were first formed?
No, we had services first in public schools. We had decided on Friday evening services.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't want Sunday morning services. We also had voted on having bar mitzvahs. Not bat mitzvahs,
mm-hmm.
bar mitzvahs.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the organizational part of it. We had Friday night services at the Julia Ward Howe School in Sunset Hills. And one of our members made the ark himself out of wood.
Oh, amen.
And where we got the Torah, I honestly can't remember. But we borrowed, or were given as gifts, prayer books from Rhoda Sholem. And by that time, I think Temple Sinai had spun off from Rhoda Sholem. So we were very close with them in the machinations of forming a temple. So our Friday evening services were held in Julia Ward Howe School. But after services, every Friday night, one couple would host and hostess an Onik Shabbat in their homes. We'd always go to somebody's home. Now, not everybody went, but the nucleus of the original members all got together every Friday night after services. And that was our social life.
Mm-hmm.
Then we formed a sisterhood. And they formed a men's club. Now it's called a brotherhood, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But at that time it was called the men's club. And high holiday services were held in all kinds of churches in this area. The doors were opened to us voluntarily. We did not have to ask.
That's wonderful.
The original religious school classes were held in a church, the Baldwin Community Church, right across from what is now Casty Village.
Mm-hmm.
And carpools were formed, and the children got to know each other, and finally got to the point of building a building, of which my first husband was the chairman of the building committee. And still raising the money, I remember we had the Help Us Dig was our campaign slogan. And everybody who made a contribution of X number of dollars got a pretty little gold shovel lapel pin. And it was quite a prideful thing to wear that little gold shovel all the time. We had just the first stage of what is now our temple, which was nothing more than a concrete lower construction building. We had a kitchen. We had the one large room, which would separate for the religious school classes with sliding doors. We had services in that one room. We ate, slept, and did everything in one room, practically, and taught, and were taught. And I think that that was a very important factor for the people from the city of Pittsburgh to think about moving here to the South Hills.
Sure.
They knew that, and I'm talking about those who were interested in a Reform congregation,
mm-hmm.
because Bethel had been here for many years, and it satisfied many, many of the Jewish people, families, but there were some that were used to a Reform type of mm-hmm. congregation. And I feel that because the temple was formed and was organized, it was a moving factor to bring others to the Mount Lebanon area, the Mount Lebanon in particular.
Mm-hmm. How many people do you think that you had as far as membership when it first got going?
We had the 50 charter members.
And that was it?
Right. And from then on, people gradually... Mm-hmm. I never knew how many Jewish families were here mm-hmm. until the temple was formed.
Sure.
I wouldn't have known them if I'd tripped over them on Washington Road. You go right. into stores and whatnot, and you don't know them. But they just all of a sudden came.
Mm-hmm.
And they had been living here, but had not been a part of an organized Jewish community
mm-hmm.
until the temple was formed.
Margie, what, did you go to college?
University
what,
of Pittsburgh.
You did go to mm-hmm. University of
Pittsburgh.
What did you study?
English major.
Mm.
And
did you teach?
No, no, no. I wrote.
Oh, you wrote?
Yes.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have articles in
I wrote for the Pitt News.
Oh, for
I
the
was on the staff of the Pitt News.
Oh.
And then when I was in Washington, I did a daily paper for the National Housing Agency on legislation that had to do with public housing, because my first husband was a public housing administrator here for the city of Pittsburgh
oh.
before he went into the war.
Oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, as far as your involvement with council and other organizations.
Oh, that's interesting too.
When
they knew that the temple was organized
uh-huh.
and they knew that there was a Jewish community here,
uh-huh.
that's when the organizations all came in.
Sure.
Hadassah was the first.
Uh-huh.
Hadassah had gone on what they called the group plan. Originally, you know, it was just the Pittsburgh chapter uh-huh. of Hadassah. In 1948, the group plan was devised from the city, and we were group five in Mount Lebanon. We formed the Hadassah group out here.
Mm-hmm.
That was in 1948. Council, I am not sure of when they had their South Hill section formed. You probably have that someplace. In your
mm-hmm.
notes. Ort came out much later. As a matter of fact, the South Hills chapter of Ort was formed in my home on Academy Place. So that must have been maybe over 30 years ago.
Now this is Ort.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then Council, as I said, I'm not sure just when the South Hill section was formed.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was an evening section first.
I think it was.
And then became a regular section.
Mm-hmm.
because my initial interest was, and I would say still is, Hadassah, mm-hmm. outside of Temple and other community events.
But you were involved in Temple as far as the
sisterhood.
Sisterhood.
Right.
You were president?
And, no, I wasn't president. No. My first husband was president of the Temple. He was the third president. The organization of the community came very quickly and was a very it was popular, you know, mm-hmm. and very successful. All of the groups that formed here, B'nai B'rith Women formed a group here too, mm-hmm. but that must have been in the 50s.
Were you active in all these organizations?
No.
Which one?
Just the Sisterhood of Temple and Hadassah. Mm-hmm. There were community things that I was very active mm-hmm. in. I ran the Mount Lebanon March of Dimes one mm-hmm. for 2 years, really. And I must say that some of the other groups and organizations out here weren't too happy about the over-organized Jewish community. But when they needed something done, they called on us to do it.
Do you think they felt there were too many of them out here?
No, I don't think so. Yeah. There was anti-Semitism, there's no question about it. But because of the original help that the churches gave us, mm-hmm. I'm sure their ministers and their pastors would preach brotherhood mm-hmm. and understanding to their parishioners.
Mm-hmm. Well, as long as the churches allowed you to use their facilities
right.
for meetings,
right.
then it must have been a...
Not just for meetings, but for services,
for
actual religious services, mm-hmm. plus the religious school.
Who was the rabbi that was here when you first... Who was the first rabbi?
Rabbi Philip Frankel.
Frankel?
F-R-A-N-K-E-L. And he is now Rabbi Emeritus in Lansing, Michigan.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
Yeah, he had gone there. And we had one or two in between there that my mind... I wrote the whole history of Temple. Or something, and I have the book someplace, but I just can't put my fingers on it.
It would be interesting if you could. Is it a whole?
It was
book?
An article.
Oh, an article.
An article in one of our yearbooks.
If you could find something mm-hmm. like that and give it to us,
I do.
Just for reference, it would be very
mm-hmm.
nice.
I have it someplace. All my things. Then after there was a Rabbi Siegel. There was. I forget who else was there. But then Harold Silver.
He was there quite a while.
Came, right. He had been assistant rabbi at Road of Sholem.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were on a search, he applied and he was hired. And then after Rabbi Silver left, we had Bill Sagewitz.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Sagewitz came in because I was working at the Jewish Chronicle at the time.
Mm-hmm.
This was after my first husband died, mm-hmm. and I'd gone back to work. And I did the interview when Bill Sagewitz came here, so I know that it must have been in 67, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he stayed until he retired, and Mark Mahler is our present rabbi.
It's M-A-H-L-E-R.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right. And, of course, from the 50 families that started the temple, I imagine now we are close to over 300, maybe 400.
That's wonderful.
But I can remember when we were trying to organize the temple, and we had spent some time at the United Jewish Federation getting names, of prospective members that we could contact, only those from here, from the South Hills. We worked from a list of over 600 names. And this was a real shocker to all of us who were working on the membership committee, because we didn't realize that there were 600 potential names to become members of a congregation. That's why I say when I wouldn't have known them if I had tripped over them, because there was no community organization for them to be a part of.
But that included the whole South Hills.
Right.
Bethel Park and Whitehall. And
well, there wasn't anything in Bethel Park and Whitehall.
No,
not really. They had a small group there. They had had some kind of a religious organization in the Brentwood or Baldwin area. But one of our original members was from Brentwood himself, and that was Dr. Philip Blank. And he was one of the original...